needing strength for my journey, I knelt at the cross where Jesus once died for me. And I ask, is this a place where hope abides? And this he said to me, behind the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore. Then I sought reassurance and I went to the tomb, to the place where his body once lay. And I cried, Lord, help me see, is there hope here for me? And this I heard him say, behind the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore.
Amen. Wonderful. Praise God. And there is hope. I said there's hope. If you're here this morning and say, preacher, I don't have any hope, you're mistaken. There is hope. So, well, preacher, how will I ever know when there is no more hope? When you stop breathing. But as long as you're breathing, there's hope. Doesn't matter. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Doesn't really matter whether I understood. The Lord already understands. And yet he was still willing to bear your sin debt on a cross and embrace all your sins, past, present, and future, pay for every single one of them, so that you and I could go free. See, we get too concerned about what men think, and we forget about what God thinks and what God knows. Amen, preacher. Oh, well, that's sermon number one. Let's go to sermon number two. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke chapter number 12, if you would please. We're going to read verses 49 down through verse 53. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 down through verse number 53. Would you stand with me this morning out of love and respect for the reading of the precious, inspired, inerrant, preserved words of Almighty God? Luke chapter 12, begin reading and follow along with me in verse 49. Jesus speaking here says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against his son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. in law. Now, I want you to go back, if you would, because there's a common word I want you to notice here. Did you notice in verse 51, Jesus speaking here says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth." Now, that's what everybody would like to just stop right there and say, you know what? God, how many of you have seen the little bumper sticker that says, "Visualize world peace"? Well, you can visualize it all you want, but it's not happening until Jesus comes back to this earth. Then He will set up His kingdom. Then there will be peace on the earth. But the thing about it is, keep in mind, the crowd of His day, particularly the disciples, His followers, thought He was going to come and set the kingdom up and then begin the age of peace during His reign right then. But you know what He answered them? He said, "Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on the earth." He said, "I tell you, nay, nay." He said, "I'll tell you what comes with me, but rather division." Division. And I want to speak to you this morning out of that verse where Jesus said that He wasn't bringing peace on the earth. He says, "Nay, but rather division." And I want to preach to you this morning. Here's the subject: Jesus the divider. Jesus the divider. Father, would You bless our time together this morning and the reading and study of Your Word? As we turn in Scripture, would You open our hearts up to truth this morning? And that Spirit of God, that You do as You promised that You would do, and that was to teach and guide in the way of all truth. Now we ask You this morning to open our hearts. Bless us. When we leave this place, may our hearts be changed. May we be challenged in Your Word to be better followers of Thee. For we ask it this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. The word divide, to part, to separate. Now, I know it sounds a little bit strange this morning to mention division in relationship to the Lord or relationship to Jesus Christ. But may I remind you this morning that God is not, that division is not foreign to Him. Matter of fact, division has been a common practice of God since the very beginning. Please let me remind you that Jesus was there in the beginning. You say He was, yeah, because the Scripture said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So would we all agree that Jesus was there at creation? Are we okay with that? All right, since He was there at creation, turn back then to Genesis chapter 1, and let me show you how God, it's been a common practice for God to have division. Now, I'm not talking about attacking one another, okay? But God, a common practice of His is dividing. Look in Genesis 1, verse number 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good." Now, look at this now. "And God," does your Bible say divided? "And God divided the light from the day." You know what He did? He parted. He separated the light from the darkness. Go down, if you would, to verse number 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters." We okay with God? A common practice from the very beginning has been division. He's dividing here day from darkness, light from darkness. Go over, if you would, to verse number 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and the heaven, and the lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." Go down to verse number 18. "He created the sun and the moon," He said, "to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good." Everybody okay with me now? That God, since the very beginning, has been a God. Part of it has been dividing. Yeah, from the very beginning. Guess who was with Him in the beginning? Jesus was there in the beginning. He was part of the process of dividing. He divided the light from the darkness. He divided the land from the waters. He divided the day from the night. Hey, may I remind you that when He put Noah and his family on an ark, you know what He did? He divided them from the rest of the world by water. He separated them. He put them apart from all the rest of the wicked world. May I remind you that when you go to Genesis chapter 11, you'll read there about a tower called the Tower of Babel. You know what God did that day?
Because they were trying to build a tower to reach up into heaven, God confounded the languages. You know what he did? He divided all the languages that day, where one man could not understand what another man was speaking. God did that. May I take you forward to Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel, after they have exited from Egypt, are now standing on the shore of the Red Sea. And you know what God did that day? He did what was a common practice to him. He divided. And he took that Red Sea and he divided it wide open. And you know the people of God went across on dry ground? Why? Because God practiced division. May I remind you in Joshua chapter 18, when the people of God got to the promised land, you know what God did? He divided the land up among them. You say, God is sure doing a lot of dividing. Yes. So division is not an uncommon practice with God. Matter of fact, listen to me now. Certain flavors of Christendom would like for us to accept that Jesus was not a divider, but rather that he preached and practiced tolerance among all men. I'm sorry, he didn't. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but division. Now listen, he wasn't going out of his way to try to divide people. We're going to learn here in just a minute. It didn't matter that what some of these people think. What happened was, we're going to study here and look in just a moment, that there were just certain things about Jesus that divided people. There were just certain things about him that divided people. You say, preacher, I thought God was love. He is. I thought God loved people regardless. He does. He is love. He does love. But may I say to you this morning that even love does not tolerate wrong. And may I say to you that even love, there is a limit to it. And God does not have to ignore our wrongdoing to yet still love us. And yet what people try to say is, well, that if we do wrong, then we should express love and just overlook the wrong. What can I say to you? God didn't overlook it. And just because Jesus presents division, it's not a cue for believers to go around and start dividing from one another. Yeah, that's not at all what he's talking about here. You see, the force behind Jesus, the divider, was manifested itself in several ways. You say, how did the manifestation of the division that Jesus brought manifest itself, preacher? Turn in your Bible to John chapter 10. Turn to John chapter 10, if you would, please. John chapter number 10. All right, you're going to need your Bible this morning. We're going to turn to quite a bit of scripture here. John 10 and verse number 19. John 10, verse number 19. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you'll understand that John 10, Jesus is speaking of himself being the good shepherd. Remember, he speaks of himself being the door of the sheep. Remember, he speaks of himself that only his sheep hear his voice. And he's talking and teaching about this. Well, do you know what happened in verse number 19? The Bible says there was a, look at your Bible now, does it say division? It says there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. So when Jesus said, I'd come not to bring peace on the earth, nay, I say division. You say, how does he bring division, preacher? First of all, his manifestation of his division came through his teachings. Are you with me? His teachings divided people one from another. If you don't believe that, take your Bible, if you would, go to John chapter 14. Go to John chapter 14. Jesus' teachings divide. You say, teachings on what, preacher? How about teaching that he was the Savior and the only Savior of the world? Boy, that divided a few people. Look, if you would, in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. I said, no man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. Does that pretty much single out that there's only one way? Does that pretty much single out that He's the Savior and ain't nobody being saved unless you come to Jesus Christ? I don't care what any other people say. You see, His teachings divided people. And if you don't believe that, listen to me. Today, listen, in Matthew chapter 26, remember when the high priest, they spoke to Jesus and He answered not them, or He didn't answer a word to them, and the high priest says, smote him, smite him. And they smacked Him. He said, answer me now. Are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, thou sayest. Now listen, you know what the high priest did? He ripped his clothes. You know what Jesus did that day? He divided. And you know what He did? He divided the people there because many believed that He was the Savior, many believed that He was not. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something. You need to follow me. If Jesus is the only Savior, and there are other areas of supposed Christendom that are teaching other things other than Jesus plus nothing minus nothing, then listen to me, that means everybody can't be right. Amen. Not everybody can be right then. You say, oh, preacher, no. You don't understand. It doesn't matter what church you go to. We're all believing God. We all believe in Jesus. We all believe in heaven. We're just going there a different way. I have begged to differ with you according to the Scriptures. You see, Jesus' teaching divides. Now, let me say, you know, we got school teachers in here. School's about ready to start. Isn't this great? About 3 weeks. We got school teachers in here, school teachers. Those of you that give a test, the next time you give a test, just tell the students, just write down anything you want because it doesn't matter. All of it's right. Come on, talk to me now. Next time you give a test, put it on there and just say, it doesn't matter what the answer is because it's all going to be right. Nobody can give a wrong answer. You know what? You say, no, that ain't going to fly. Well, can I say something to you? Not everybody can be right. That means there has to be a truth, right? And you know what divides people? The truth does. The teachings of Jesus Christ, that He's the only way to heaven. Let me tell you something else that divides. How about His teaching on salvation by grace through faith? That divides a few people. Oh, yeah. You say, well, how does it divide? Because Jesus very simply said, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I said should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what? That eliminates any works. Everybody still with me? Everybody can't be right. You see, the teachings of Jesus divide. You say, preacher, why is there so many denominations? Because the teachings of Jesus divide. You say, well, how do we know what the truth is? Read the book. Just read it. It'll tell you what the truth is. You say, well, aren't these other people reading it? I don't know what they're reading. They ain't reading the same one I'm reading. Come on now. They ain't reading the same one I'm reading. Because this book right here tells me exactly how to live, and it tells me exactly what the truth is. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, the life. And salvation is only by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. I'm sorry, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you got a problem with the Word of God. And may I say to you this morning, did you know that there were other people in Scripture that when Jesus taught this, they divided too? Yeah, Jesus is the divider. His teachings divided. His teaching about that He was the Messiah. His teaching about salvation. Oh, listen to this now. His teaching about that anyone can be saved. Come on. I said anyone can be saved. He said, no, they can't. Then why would someone explain to me what the word whosoever means then? I'm not real smart. I was born in Mississippi. I did graduate school though. But would somebody explain to me what the word whosoever means then? The word whosoever means whosoever. Anyone. Anybody can be saved that's willing to come Jesus' way. Listen, most of you in here could quote John 3:16 up one side and down the other. You know what the Scripture says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever from the lips of Jesus, don't take my word for it, take Jesus' word. Anybody that's willing to come the Bible way can be saved. You said, preacher, I just don't know if everybody can be saved. Well, then listen, let me ask you this. How about Luke chapter 8? Everybody believe a person that's possessed with a devil, if Jesus comes into their life, they can be saved as well? I got proof for it. You go check me out. There was a maniac, a man full of the devil, in a land called the land of the Gadarenes. Jesus stepped on shore. He came out of his mind, cut himself, full of not one devil, an entire legion of devils. You know what Jesus did? Cast those devils out. The Bible says he put clothes on and sat in his right mind. Hey, yeah, anybody can be saved. He can even save a person possessed of a devil. Can I say to you, he can save, he's willing to save anybody even up to the last moment. You say, I don't think God's going to save anybody, preacher, that just lives for the devil all their life, and then all of a sudden they just decide, well, you know what? I'm about to die, and I think I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. Not going to save anybody like that. Well, listen, then when you get to heaven, I want you to sit down just a moment with the thief that was on one side of Jesus, and I want you to sit down and have him explain to you what all happened that day on the cross, because let me tell you something, he died just a few hours later. Hey, he couldn't come off there and do any good works, could he? I said he couldn't come off there and take communion, could he? Hey, couldn't come off and get baptized either. I'm here to tell you, it divides. The teachings of Jesus divides. Amen. See, the thing about it is, you know what most of our problem is? Most of our problem is we get caught up in tradition too much. And what happens is we believe what some man told us, or we believe what somebody told us instead of checking the scriptures out and find out what Jesus say. And we get tied up with tradition. You see, the teachings of Jesus separate. They divide. Hey, he taught that anyone could be saved. Well, let me just go a step further here and say, do you know what? He also taught that discipleship is a separated life. Yeah. Did you know that? He taught that once you get born again, you're just supposed to be separate from the world. You're to look different, walk different, talk different, act different. Amen, preacher. Hey, you see, the thing about this, when the word goes out like this, it's even dividing even as I speak. Hey, I'm just saying, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, nay, but division. He says, because once I start revealing and start teaching, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Division's going to take place. He taught that he was a Savior. He taught how to be saved. He taught that anyone could be saved. And then he says, once you do get saved, you're to live the separated life. Take your Bible. Go, if you would, to John 6. If you're still in the Gospel of John, go to John 6 and verse 66. John 6 and verse 66. Now, Jesus taught a lot of things. But I want you to look in verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples... Now stop. Would everybody agree with me that he's referring to followers? Okay. When the teachings got tough, it said that many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You mean to tell me that even the teachings of Jesus will even divide believers? You got it. Sure will. Hey, listen. That's the reason, folks, that people, instead of taking the inerrant, preserved, inspired, holy words of God, they will take what Dr. Duflunky wrote in a book, and they will put his authority over the Word of God. Yeah. You see, the teachings of Jesus divide. You see, he said that there were some that walked with him no more. In Luke chapter 14, remember when he was talking to the disciples? He said, if you forsake not father and mother and brother and sister, wait a minute now, and yea, your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. You know what he said? Division. We're going to divide. And you know, there's a lot of Christendom, people of God today, that proclaim salvation, that do not want to follow? You say, why? Because the teachings of Jesus divide. They divide. And so what are we going to do today? The teachings of Jesus, listen, the reason being is because the teachings of Christ many times do not match up, listen to me now, to the superstar religious figures of our day. Everybody okay with that? You say, what superstars are you talking about, preacher? Yeah, I ain't got time to go through the superstar list. But they're there. You see them on billboards or TV. All the superstars, you know what I'm talking about? And because the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus don't match up, we say, well, he must be right because he's on a billboard. He must be right because he's got a TV show. He must be right because he's got a radio station. Listen, I'm not against any of that. What I'm against is when the teachings are contrary to the teachings of Jesus. So you know what the teachings of Jesus do? They divide. Oh, yes. Yeah, they divide. You can look at in your spare time in Matthew chapter 15 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 particularly. Paul warned Timothy, said, for the time will come. Well, they will not endure sound doctrine. But you know what he said they would do? They would gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. He said they would gather to them people who proclaim that thus saith God, but never can show you in the Bible. They'll proclaim that thus saith the Lord. I mean, have you ever met people like this that tried to convince you of a doctrine that they believed but could never show you in Scripture? Or they would say, oh, it's in the Bible. Well, where in the Bible? Well, it's in there. I read it. No, what I want you to do is I want you to show it to me. Show me what you believe from the Scriptures. And you know what I'll do? I'll show you what I believe, which I believe is biblical based. What divides? The teachings of Jesus divide. May I say to you, number two, real quick. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 7. Turn to John chapter 7. John 7. Now again, look at verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, saith, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Now look at verse 43. So there was a division among the people. Listen now, not necessarily because of his teaching now, but because of him. Did you notice that? It says now it's not necessarily what he's saying, now it's his position. You see, Jesus divides not based just on his teaching, but he divides based on his position, where he stands on certain subjects. You see, look down if you would go back to verse number 28. Look at some of the things in the position that he took. John 7, 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, who you know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Kind of sounds like he's saying he's God. Is that right? All right, then what I'm saying to you here this morning is not only does Jesus' teachings divide, listen to me, but where he stands, his position divides. His position divides. You say, position on what, preacher? Well, let's go ahead and just get touchy this morning. His position on the sanctity of the church and the house of God. Do you know God holds the church in high sanctity? He don't want anybody messing with his church. You know, you say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, go back to John 2. Let's find out that there were some people messing around in the church. And let's see what Jesus thought about it. And his position, just his position now, divides. It said that there was division because of him. John 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords. I said, when he made a scourge of small cords. He said, what is he about to do? He's about to get upset. And you know what? The source of him being upset? People messing around with the church. He said, the scripture says, that he made a scourge of small cords and he drove them all out of the temple. You say, what's the temple? Well, today's the church. He won't be messing around in the church. You see, the thing about it is he held the church in sanctity, look on now, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. In other places in Scripture, he said, make not my Father's house a den of thieves. You see, Jesus' position on the church divided people. So when the Scripture tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, some don't take that literally. And when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he said, I will build my church. And then when we find that he so loved the church that he gave himself for it, hey, everybody okay with Jesus loving the church? Then when we got people messing around and he goes in to correct it, you know what it does? It divides. It divides. Because some take the sanctity of the church flippantly. The church is the love of his life and the attention of his ever-moving eye. He loves the church. You men, the Bible says the church will one day become the bride of Christ. Any red-blooded man in here like me that loves their wife, you mess my wife, you messing with me. And can I say to you, it don't really, at that point, it don't really matter whether you know taekwondo. At that point, it doesn't matter if you're a special forces guy. I'm coming after you. You say, well, you fix and get your net. I may get it broken, but let me tell you something. You better get the first punch in because after that, it's over. You say, man, you're pretty sad of it. Listen, don't mess with my wife. Amen. And can I say to you, do you know the church is the bride of Christ? Don't mess with his wife. Because he kind of got upset here because he made a scourge of cords and he went in and drove them out. You say, did he smack them? I don't know. What did he fix the scourge of cords for? You think he just went there to show them? Think he would just say, you see this right here? Come in here again? I'll smack you with these. I don't know if he went there and banged the tables or hit the poles or what he did, but I know this. I know that his position on the sanctity of the house of God, his position divides. Can I say to you that his position on sin divides? Yeah. Yeah. And let me give you some words that the Bible describes. We don't have time to turn there. Let me give you some words that the Bible describes sin: abomination, transgression, evil. I don't think we have to define those. I think we kind of understand what God thinks about it. I think God thinks about sin as it is a debauchery. Listen, he's not going to overlook it. He does not accept it just because my situation presents itself that I had to do this because of my situation. You know what that's called? That's called situational ethics. That we can lie, cheat, do whatever we manipulate in any place that we want as long as it's okay and benefits me, because you don't understand, preacher, I had to. You had to lie? You had to cheat? You had to steal? Yeah, preacher, you don't understand. God understands that. I'm here to tell you, he don't. He doesn't understand that. Because he has a strong position on sin. Luke 13:3. Here's what Jesus said. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know what he said about sin? He says, if you don't get it right, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, he said, it's sin that condemns the soul of man, and except you come to Jesus Christ, you will perish. You will perish. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66:18 says, the Lord will not hear me. Kind of sounds like there's a barrier there, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like that God says, you know what? We need to be right if we're going to see our prayers answered. Well, I said his position divides. I said his teaching divides. Hey, his position, we don't have time to talk about this. We'll move on from this. But his position on separation from the world. What the Bible teaches about the believer being separated from the world. Hey, we already told you in Luke 14, it says, if you forsake father, mother, son, daughter, and yea, your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17 teaches, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith, not Trinity Baptist, saith the Lord. Why? Because his position on separation divides. You say, what does it divide, preacher? Because there's a bunch of people today say, oh, well, preacher, you don't understand. You can't be preaching like this and reach this generation. Well, you know something? Then if that's true, then Jesus couldn't reach his generation because he preached harder than I did. Amen. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. This is the 21st century. You can't just be reaching people that and that same. Don't you know times are different? Okay, I understand that times are different to us, but may I remind you that time means nothing to God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not affected by time. You think he thought, oh my goodness, we're in the 21st century. We got to come up with a new idea to reach souls. No, he gave us one way, one truth, one life. And that's how what we follow. You see, his teachings divide, his position divides, and let me just finish up and say this. His presence divides. I said his presence divides. Remember in John chapter 3, when he met with Nicodemus by night, and Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, you know, kind of thinking through this, said, well, how can I go into my mother's womb a second time and be born? He said, oh, come on, man, I ain't talking about that. He said, I'm talking about that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit. You know what he was saying? He said, no, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus got born again. You know what it did? It separated him. It separated him. It divided him from the Pharisees. May I remind you that when Jesus called his 12 apostles out, you know what he did? He divided them from their profession. He divided them from the fishing business, the tax collecting business, and whatever other business they were involved in. May I remind you that in John chapter 4, that when Jesus met the woman at the well, he says, listen, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But you drink of the water that I'll give you, you will never thirst again. You know what happened? She got born again. You know how I know she got born again and got saved? Because she ran back into the city and said, oh, you're not going to believe this. Listen, you're going to come out and see, I've met a man that told me all things I've ever done. How many times did Jesus go from place to place and they told him, you're going to have to leave. You need to go. Isn't it sad that in some places around America, places that have church on the sign, that the Lord's not even welcome? You say, I know, because we don't embrace the teachings. Because we don't embrace his position. And even his presence divides. I've already told you that the maniac of Gadara, listen, there, just his presence divided, separated that man from devils. Luke chapter 16, two men died. Lazarus, a poor man, and a rich man. You know what happened at death? Division. What caused the division? The presence or not the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they both died. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man opened his eyes up. He was in hell being in torments. Don't tell me Jesus is not a divider. He is. His teachings divide. His position on certain subjects divide. His presence divides. It divided Lazarus and the rich man. Hey, may I remind you also that on the cross, there were two thieves being crucified by Jesus. Both of them railed on him at the beginning. One of them came to his senses and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what the presence of Jesus just did? Divided. It divided them two thieves. One, as far as we know, went to hell. The other one went to be with the Lord. And may I say to you this morning that his presence at death will divide. And may I remind you that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Judgment of what, preacher? It's division. With Jesus, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Without Jesus, absent from the body, present in hell. there's division takes place. He divides. Why? He is the divider. He's the divider. His presence at death divides. And then let me finish up and say this. Do you know that His return one day in the eastern sky will divide? Yeah, it's going to divide. You say, who's it going to divide? It's going to divide between believers and non-believers. You say, what's going to happen to us believers? Well, when we see Him, we'll be called and gathered up to meet Him in the air. Only those who have Christ will meet Him in the air. You say, preacher, what happens to the others? They're divided from us. They stay here. You see, when Jesus returns, it's going to divide. And us that we go to heaven, we get to be with Christ. Those that are left get to deal with the Antichrist. Hey, those of us that get divided to heaven and be with Jesus, we get peace. Everybody else gets chaos. For those of us that are saved, hey, listen, we'll get to participate in some shape, form, or fashion in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everybody else gets to go through the tribulation. You say, what's going to be in the tribulation? I ain't going to have time to go read it, but it's ugly. You see, I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is the divider. His teachings divide. His position divides. His presence divides. You see, Jesus is the central focus of the entire Bible. All events are funneled toward His birth, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and His return. Jesus is love. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is Almighty God. But He is also the great divider of men. Based on our belief in His Word, faith in His salvation, and obedience to His commands. Let me remind you one time. He was asked, Lord, are You going to come and set peace up on the earth? He said, nay. Division. Division. When He made that statement, would everybody okay with it to say it did come true? Because His teachings divided, His position divided, and His presence divides. And let me give you one quick little illustration. Say, preacher, how do we know that His presence divides? Next time you go in somewhere, start talking out loud about Jesus and see if there's people who don't leave. You know why? Because just the presence of His name divides. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a born-again Christian, no question about it. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know that if I died today or He split the eastern sky, heaven is my home. Lift it way up high and say, I'm not ashamed of it, preacher. God bless you. All over the auditorium, you can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation now is yours. Have Your way. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the Word of God this morning and for moving in our hearts in such a special way. We pray that You'd show Yourself mighty and great in this invitation time. And Lord, I know in a congregation this big, there's probably two or three, maybe even more, that in their heart cannot honestly say that they've been born into the family of God. They cannot honestly say that heaven is their home. Lord, I pray that today would be that day that they would come to the saving grace and knowledge of Christ. Don't let them leave this building today without knowing Jesus, because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, may I ask you quickly, there may be one or two, maybe more, that are here this morning and say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that if I met death today or Jesus came back today, I cannot honestly say, preacher, that heaven's my home. I've thought about it. I cannot look back in my life and put my finger on a point where I've put my faith and trust totally in Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? That's me. Nobody's looking but me. Would you be honest in church this morning and let me pray for you? Let me know that by just slipping your hand up, and you can slip it right back down. You say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you. You can put your hands down. Say, preacher, I've got to be honest. I'm going to be honest this morning. I cannot honestly say that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. May I say to you that death could be yours today? You could face the Lord today? Anybody else will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. Slip it up. Anybody else? Okay, how many are here this morning? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized according to Scripture. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me about that? I want you to slip your hand up. I'll pray with you. Slip your hand up. Say, that's me. Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Listen to me. Don't put it off anymore. Don't put it off anymore. Come today and know that you can be right with God because of it. Now, one last thing. I mean, say, preacher, my heart's desire, so desire, is to be right. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with His Word. I want to be right with His church so that if He does come, that my life will be right with Him and I face Him that way. How many of you say, preacher, that is my heart's burning desire is to be right with God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, that's me, preacher. Pray for me. 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 All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, we commend this invitation into your hands, realizing that you're in control. Would you move in hearts? Those that need to come and accept Christ, that they would come. Those that need to come get baptized, let them not allow, Lord, the old flesh to get a hold of them and leave today without taking care of business for God. Lord, this is an opportunity that we can make our lives right with God. I pray that they would come. And then those that raise their hand and said that their heart's desire is to be right in every area. Lord God, I pray that we'd flood the altars of the church this morning and fall on our face before God and thank you for your kindness and mercy in our life. And Lord, that you would use your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us in your perfect will for our lives. Please, bless this invitation time in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. No one's, keep your head bowed, eyes closed as we stand. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if you'll begin to sing. If you raised your hand this morning and said, preacher, that's me. That's me. I cannot honestly say that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. You come. You come. This is your opportunity. Would you come? If you raise your hand, say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Would you come? Listen, death could be yours today. You may face God today. Would you come and at least settle in your heart what you know to be right? Would you come? Please come. If God allowed you to raise your hand, obviously He moved in your heart. If He moved in your heart, would you move this morning and come and profess Christ? If God spoke to you about something that needs to be happening in your life, you come. You come. Come on. Come on, whatever your need is. God wants to move in your life this morning. Come on, come on, come on. If you're a lady here this morning, we'll have a lady to deal with you and pray with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man deal with you and pray with you.